This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Jennifer at Wade River Critters.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
It's a beautiful day in Minnesota. I don't know what it's like in New Mexico, but it's the sun shining. It's not hot. It's not cold. Perfect.
Yeah, we're a little overcast. It's, you know, we're getting our second winter that we didn't really get the first time. So.
Yeah, I'm assuming the winter has been weird all over the country because I don't know anybody to talk to outside of Maine and Minnesota, but I'm guessing your winter has been crazy too.
Yeah, definitely not as much snow as we would like, but it's trying to give us a little last burst, I think.
Good. All right, well, tell me about yourself and Wade River Critters.
So we are newly 3 years into farming. We actually found our dream property 3 years ago. We have 12 acres. We're pretty much just on the very tippy top northwest side of New Mexico. We're literally 5 minutes over the border from Colorado and Durango and kind of the Four Corners area. And I work in the area. And so we got 12 acres. And so we've been growing and adding things now that we have the land to do it and have plunged headfirst into farming and critters and taking advantage of this life. So
it's really fun, huh?
Definitely. I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm a city girl and I always joked with my dad, I love animals and said I'd have a zoo one day. And little did I know that it was actually going to be a farm.
Well, welcome to homesteading. So what's the climate and the dirt like in New Mexico? Because my son just moved from right outside of Phoenix to Nebraska because he couldn't get anything to grow.
Yeah. So in our part, we're kind of right, I mean, pretty much touching Colorado. So we still get, a lot of areas in New Mexico are definitely more desert, but we are kind of lucky to be, we have a river that runs on our property. We still have a lot of trees. We actually are pretty lush landscape for New Mexico standards. And being that we're so close to Colorado, we get a lot of their storms. So we still, not as much, but we still get snow. We definitely still get a lot of rain. We do have some hot summers, not as bad as Phoenix. I'm very grateful that it's not Phoenix summers. But it can be challenging because our winter last year went really long. And so we weren't able to really plant stuff till late in the game. And so then things didn't have time to mature. So we had a really short growing season. So we're still kind of learning how to adapt to that. And it's definitely a different each year. So it always throws a curveball at you. But sorry, my cat's just knocked over. That's just stuff. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
But it's this year we'll see. We're hoping that spring's coming a little sooner. We're learning to start seeds inside a little sooner so that we're able to try to take advantage as soon as the ground is workable. But
yeah, our kitchen table is going to be covered with seed starts this weekend. We're planting tomato seeds and herb seeds and I don't know what else, but I'm losing my kitchen table again for 8 weeks as I do every spring.
Luckily, yeah, we've got my office has the floors covered right now and we got little grow lights and doing what we can.
Yeah, luckily we don't actually sit to eat at the kitchen table very often as most Americans don't. And so it's a really nice spot for the grow lights and the windows are right there. So it's going to be
multi-purpose.
It's going to be nice to have little green babies in the house again because I love it when they start to sprout. And by the end, when they're getting leggy and they need to go outside, I'm like, please take these babies out and put them in the ground, honey, please. So. And next spring, we won't have to start as many in the house because we're going to be building a heated greenhouse here in the next few weeks.
That's definitely on our to-do list. We've got a pretty big garden area, but it's all open right now. And so we really want to do a greenhouse or out here because we have such fluctuating weather. We're actually thinking of digging out and doing a dug in to the earth greenhouse so that we can have a bit more stable temperatures and especially our summers. Our summers can get really, really hot, which of course just can make it a challenge for some of the items. So
yeah, we debated doing the dug out greenhouse part. And Money is just a little tight right now, and hiring someone to come in and dig it out was beyond what we could afford. And we don't have a bobcat or a whatever we would use to dig it out. So we're just doing the bricks that sit on the ground so that the wood framing doesn't get wet and rot out.
Yeah.
And I think the plan is to get a propane heater for the temporary future for it. And then we were talking with someone, I don't remember who it was now, and they said that they put their compost pile behind their greenhouse and they make a vent through the wall of the greenhouse and the heat from the compost pile gets blown into the greenhouse.
Awesome.
So I don't know how that works, but we're thinking about it. We have to do some more research. But really,
we've been recently watching that show, Homestead Recovery, I believe it is. And so we're learning all sorts of tricks like that, you know, using the earth's, you know, different thermal options to try to heat things. So, you know, we might give some of those a try here.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me with the greenhouse is we were awarded a grant, and that's what the grant is for, is to build the heated greenhouse. And I just want it to last. You know, I don't want to build it and have it be gone in 2 years. We've tried the hoop houses with plastic, and we had one get torn apart by the wind a couple of years ago, and it kind of broke my heart. You know, we had plants in there, and we had baby plants, we had seedlings in there, and they got knocked over and mixed up, and we had surprise gardens all over our yard because we weren't going to throw the seedlings away. And so we just put them in forever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the hoop houses are nice, but we're same situation. We have way too strong winds all the time. It'd be impossible. It would last maybe a month if we were lucky.
Yeah, our problem was we had it turned the wrong direction. And so the doors were zippered closed, but they weren't closed all the way. And the wind managed to get up underneath and it just pulled it right over.
That's no fun.
Yeah, so now we know. Now we know which direction to put the greenhouse.
Lessons learned. Yeah, definitely some hard lessons that you learn.
Weird how weather becomes so incredibly important to track and to learn how to work with when you're growing things. Who knew that would be important?
Right?
But anyway, so I saw something about keets, KEETS, on your Facebook page. What is a keet?
So we have guinea keets.
Okay.
We like to call them the dodo birds because that's kind of what they look like. But yeah, we got them for free from one of our farm friends. And so they're just one of our additions, and they're fun. They make a lot of noise, but they're definitely good alarms as well. So, if there's something going on around us, they actually kind of let us know. So like little mini guard dogs, alarm dogs.
Yeah, that's a good thing to have. And I saw you have dogs, big dogs. So you also have them to let you know too.
Yes. Yeah. We're big dog people for sure. Like my dogs outweigh me. That's the way we like it.
Yeah. The photo of you with, I assume it's a Great Pyrenees.
So that's Striker. He's our livestock guardian dog. So he's Anatolian Pyrenees.
That photo, you need to print that out and frame it. I love that picture. That's beautiful.
He's a sweet boy. We got him to be a livestock guardian dog. We're animal lovers, so he's spoiled. He gets to come inside, you know, whenever he wants. But he does his rounds and he patrols, and so he's always checking on the critters. So he's still doing his job during the day.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen Jennifer's Facebook page, the photo I'm referring to is Jennifer is laying on the floor next to Striker. And Striker makes her look like she's about 3 feet tall and about a foot wide. Yeah. He's a big dog.
I am short to begin with. I'm only like 5'1", but yeah, he's a big boy.
You look like a little fairy next to your dog. But anyway, and you have goats and you have chickens and what else? Anything?
We've got 5 turkeys, and 3 cats. So, and 2 sheep. We just added 2 sheep. We're bottle feeding them. And actually today was our first day of no bottles and they were not happy about it. So
were they yelling at you?
Oh, screaming bloody murder. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got grains, they got hay, but you think we're starving them.
Well, it's no fun when you have to go from the liquid gold to the regular food.
Growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I don't want to get too deep into goats today because I just interviewed a girl, like girl, yeah. 17 years old, a couple days ago. And she raises Nigerian dwarf goats and she shows them.
Oh.
And she told me all kinds of details about goats and the genetics being important and getting, wow, getting your goats from a reputable breeder and looking for healthy animals and breeding so that the babies are better than the parents and all kinds of things. I had no idea she was 17 until way into the interview.
That's awesome. Yeah. And ours are more of a hobby.
Yeah. I was so excited. And then I saw that you had goats and chickens and I was like, well, I guess we're going to talk about goats and chickens today again. And honestly, it's fine because chickens and goats are the things that people start their homesteads with.
Absolutely.
They're small, they're fairly manageable, and they provide something to your business or your home.
Absolutely.
So what are your goats? Are they little goats? Are they Nubians? What are they?
So we have, our first two that started the whole obsession are Nigerian dwarfs. And then we found some local people, you know, through Facebook. We've really kind of branched out with our farm community and we found some mini Nubians and I just fell in love with their ears. So we've got three mini Nubians currently, two weathers, one doe. And so we're going to try to, raise a few more mini Nubies, and crossbreed them with our Nigerian dwarf to get smaller mini Nubies. Cause I got one that he's not very mini. He's kind of like a miniature cow.
I didn't know there were mini Nubians.
Yeah, we're hoping to keep him. I like the little bit smaller size. We got our one boy. He's decent sized. He's the biggest one of the group, and we don't really want to go much bigger. But we do it for fun and they're kind of my stress relief after a hard day at work. So,
yeah, I was gonna say what is your job? Because I didn't think that you were just doing the homesteading stuff.
So I own an insurance agency. I've got two locations, and so. Pretty busy gal. And so they definitely are. Last night, I love the daylight savings, at least for the set fact that I get home and there's light left and I can go say hi to them and get some snuggle. So,
yeah. Yep. There's nothing better than petting some kind of furred critter to calm you down.
Absolutely.
It really helps. So I'm sorry. You said, when did you bought your place in 2020?
So 2021, so we're on our third summer here. So, and I always say, kind of when you approach me, I say, the best advice I can give anyone that is new to this world and getting into it is always go bigger than what you thought. We've expanded things multiple times. We keep adding, we thought we had got two goats. We're now at nine. We had, a pallet house for initially and we got two barns now. So always go bigger than you think you need because the obsession is real. You're gonna want more and you're gonna have to add more later.
Yeah. When my husband and I were looking for the place that we were gonna move to, we moved 3.5 years ago. When we were looking, he really wanted like 25 to 50 acres. And I said, babe, you have a full time job. And I said, and you're not going to actually use more than 3 or 4 acres anyway. I know you. I said, can we please shoot for under 5 acres? I said, because you're going to work yourself to death if you get 25 to 50 acres. And he was like, but, and I said, plus, I don't think we can afford 25 to 50 acres, not with a house on it. And he was like, okay. And we looked at one place that had a lot of acreage. And he looked around and he said, it's a good thing the house isn't right. He said, because I can't, this is more, what I wanted is more than I thought it was. More land, more than I can handle. And I said, okay, good. So we ended up finding a place with 3.1 acres. And
nice.
It's tough because we would love to have a couple mini cows because they're cute. And we would use the milk, but there's no place for them to graze. But other than that, 3.1 acres is a perfect size. We've got room for the dog to play outside. We've got room for a shed for the chicken feed and the cat food and that stuff. We've got room for the chicken coop, and they have a run, and they've actually been free ranging. The chickens have been free ranging this winter because there hasn't been any snow. And they got allocated to the chicken run yesterday for the first time in 5 months. They are not happy. And the reason that they are now back in the chicken run is we need to get them used to being corralled again, because they will destroy our garden if we let them run when the garden is coming in. So I understand if you can afford it and you have plans to expand, yes, by all means, look for the biggest thing that you can handle. But you can do a lot with an acre as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, our 12 acres, we've got kind of a mix. We probably have five of that are kind of pasture. And so one of those pastures is where the goats are. And then the rest is kind of wooded. And like, so we have a river. And so it's more of just fun for us. And we take walks on the property. But where our goats are and where our chickens are, and if they were all in the same spot, I mean, definitely, you know, we're maybe max 3 acres that we're using for our farming and gardening and everything. So,
yeah. So I think people can homestead anywhere. Just talked to a lady yesterday. She has a book out called Small Scale Homesteading, and she started with like 0.13 acre lot. And she still lives in a suburb and still is not on a big lot. And she does all the homesteading things. You know, she, she has chickens, she gardens, she does lots of things with her little plot. And so I don't ever want people to think that because they don't have a big spread of property that they can't try to do some of the homesteading skills, because honestly, homesteading skills are fun.
Definitely learn. And I mean, even with us, it's just my husband and I. And so half of our stuff we're sharing with people. And so we definitely have more than we probably need, but we just, you know, we try to keep expanding and having more fun and more different stuff, especially like at our garden. We're expanding quite a bit. I love pumpkins. So we're doing kind of a big pumpkin patch this year. And kind of, you know, being that we have the space, we're going bigger, but you know, we definitely end up sharing the love, because there's no way we could actually, you know, go through all of that in a timely manner. And that's actually one of the things I'm going to try to learn, is doing some canning this year and some preserving, so that we can extend some of the stuff that is, you know, is doable.
Yes, canning is wonderful. And anyone who knows me would laugh, because I did not want to can. Did not. When I was growing up, my mom canned. The house got super hot in the middle of the summer, and it wasn't fun. And then my husband asked me 2 years ago if we could try canning in our new home, where we have central air conditioning. And I said, sure, why not? And I actually don't mind it. It's made some new memories for me. So yeah, canning is great. Do you guys do like a festival or anything in the fall? Because I saw something about a maze, and you have the river and you have the land.
Yeah, so that's actually one of the things that, you know, we got the property for us, but, you know, as we have been adding stuff, we're, you know, we kind of joke, like, there's a lot of people that could actually have a lot of fun here. You know, we've got basically a mini petting zoo at this point. Our property does actually have a maze. It sounds crazy, but we've got a really wooded area, and the previous owners cut out paths, and we've kind of added to it. And so it's something we're thinking about. You know, I'm in insurance, so of course my first concern is liability. So we got to figure out that and make sure we've got some proper coverage and some things. But we're actually doing a few things to try to get the farm to just be able to generate maybe a little bit of income. I mean, it's not definitely not what we got into it for, to, you know, make money. But if it can help cover some of the food for the goats and some of the chicken feed, you know, great. You know, that would definitely be helpful. We actually just bought a bunch of sunflower seeds. It was actually a post on one of the homesteading sites that, you know, that I've joined, and just love seeing all the ideas. And so we do have a pretty picturesque back area that has all these trees. And so we actually made a big spot and kind of in front, and we're going to do like the gigantic sunflowers. And And then reach out to some of the local photographers to offer a photography spot. And basically they can use our property. We've got a lot of really pretty areas. Like, so we got the river and, you know, and they just, you know, pay a minimal fee to be able to come do a photo shoot in a pretty lush, unique area, especially for our area. Like, so we actually, for New Mexico, where you wouldn't know we were in New Mexico with how our property is. And so we're trying to find little things to, you know, maybe generate a little income, you know, just have some fun, let others, you know, we have a lot of our people that know us that have kids, you know, they always want to bring them over to see the goats and they like the turkeys and the chickens. And so probably not a festival, but we were thinking of doing kind of a part-time petting zoo and they can walk around the property, but we're still figuring it out.
Fun. Sunflowers are the happiest thing to put in a garden. We put some in 2 summers ago. My son actually wanted us to try growing them. And I was like, eh, they're big yellow flowers. Sure, why not? And we had 7 or 8 bloom at the same time, the first ones to bloom. And I stepped outside, and the garden is on the west side of our property. So the sun was coming up in the east and hitting those sunflower blooms, and it was so beautiful. I just stood there and looked at them for probably 5 minutes, just standing outside enjoying the sun, looking at these beautiful flowers. And I was like, oh, we're going to keep growing these every year. They're too pretty to not grow. And we also put in some like burgundy colored ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're really, really pretty. So
my husband kind of went crazy when I gave him the idea. So I think we have a bunch of different colored ones. We got the giant ones. And then after reading, we were reading that actually we're going to try to grow some corn and some more pumpkins this year. And actually that it's a really good plant to space out with them because it helps, I guess, keep the soil, helps break up the soil and keep it more aerated.
Yeah.
So that's actually, we read that and we're like, okay, well, I guess we're adding a few to the garden too.
Yeah, that's where ours are. They're on the back side of the garden, the produce garden. So just so you know, there is no such thing as a blue sunflower. This is important. My son saw blue sunflowers on something and he was like, can you see if there's blue sunflower seeds? I didn't think anything of it. Seeds are $1.50 a package, whatever. So I bought seeds that were described as blue sunflowers. And then I talked to a woman who grows sunflowers. And I said, is there actually a blue sunflower? And she said, not without food coloring. I was like, damn it. So there are no such thing as blue sunflowers for anyone out there who thinks that what you see on Pinterest or Instagram is true. It's not. However, there are cream-colored sunflowers. We grew some, and they are beautiful.
Awesome.
Yep, they look like a girl with in Victorian times whose skin never saw the sun, like porcelain cream-colored sunflowers. They're beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love those. I brought in one last year, and they don't get very big. They're probably the size of a salad plate, I guess. Not dinner plate, but yep, the next size down. So they're perfect for a mason jar because, hey, homesteading, we're going to have mason jars around. And just lovely, lovely, lovely color on them.
Yeah, we're excited. Like I said, we're playing with ideas and, you know, like I said, you know, we're only 3 years in and, you know, we've every summer, every spring, we're doing a different project and trying something different.
Yeah. Are there enough hours in the day for you?
So not for me. Thankfully, I kind of somehow got the roles reversed, but my husband is actually the stay-at-home farm dad. So
that's
so
okay.
He's here. But he's definitely working just as hard as me. I mean, it's been, you know, the property had a lot of great things, but of course we didn't have the, you know, the enclosures for the chickens, all the critter stuff we've added, the garden we've tripled. And so he's constantly working on the property and helping to keep it up so that I can enjoy it when I get home. So,
yeah. Okay. So since you're in insurance, this leads me to home insurance, homeowners insurance versus farm insurance, because we just went through this last spring because we were having people come on the property because we had a CSA and yep, because we have a farm stand now on our property. We talked to our insurance guy who we love. He's now out of the business. He has retired, but we love him. And he said, you might want to consider farm insurance. And I was like, but why? And he said, because you have people coming onto your property. They're driving in your driveway. They're parking their cars. They're getting out. They're wandering around. He said, it will afford you more protections should God forbid someone get hurt.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's, you know, when you asked about us doing stuff on the property, like, so that's our thing that I'm still figuring out is, you know, exactly what we want to do. Cause they're, anytime you have people come, you know, it's one thing to have friends, but when you have people coming onto your property and there's money exchanging hands, you know, that's a different exposure. You know, mm-hmm. Your homeowner's insurance is meant to handle your friends and maybe some guests at, you know, a little party that you're hosting. It's not meant to handle traffic flow of strangers and, you know, especially depending on how big you go, right? And so your regular home policy isn't going to be able to handle that and actually going to, you know, you'll probably run into some issues. But, you know, talk to your agent. You know, this is where every company's different. They have different options. I'd say if you have the ability to get through actual farm policy, the farm policy definitely, you know, they usually have more of the endorsements available to handle those types of risks. There's actually a term now because of like pumpkin patches and stuff like that. They call it agritainment.
Yes.
And so it's a, you know, depending on the company, it's a little bit of a newer term, but that's what it's there for. It's intended to help cover some of the stuff that, you know, that farms are doing, like pumpkin patches and food stands and, you know, even like, you know, like tours and stuff. And so it's definitely, it's a farm policy is going to be more capable of probably handling your needs, where your home policy is probably not going to have some of those options. Most home policies, they can handle a hobby farm, you know, like mine. Like I'm not generating income yet. Yeah. And so my policy can handle my current situation, but me bringing people onto the property, want to do more stuff. That's where I need to look for some other options. Or possibly another small policy to handle that side of the business, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, why is it really necessary? And me being in insurance, I always say, you know, unfortunately, people are so happy. You know, there's, you know, it only takes one incident, one fall, where they are, you know, and they try to come after you. And it's definitely not worth putting up your farm at risk. You know, all the things you work so hard for, it's absolutely not worth it. You know, when you can get a policy probably pretty affordable to protect you, and then, you know, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, the thing that we discovered is our farm policy is actually more expensive than our original policy was by a bit. And I asked our insurance guy, I was like, hey, buddy, how come it's so much more money? And he said, because it covers these things that the home insurance policy did not cover. And I said, oh, I'm a dumb, I'm not going to say it. I'm not very smart about this. Sorry, that was a stupid question to ask. So yeah, there are so many things to consider when you change from a home in the city or in the suburbs to being out in the country.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we all talked about, the three people that live here, when we moved here, we live 5 miles from our nearest town. And that's not that far. It's a small town. That's fine. But when we lived at the place before this place, the fire department was literally 5 blocks away. The police department was 2 blocks away. Yeah. And so we all kind of sat down and talked about how things were different here. And I said, guys, I said, please, for the love of God, be careful. Because there's no guarantee that an ambulance is going to be able to get to you fast enough if something goes really wrong.
Yeah.
So there are things that you don't realize about living not in town anymore.
For sure. We're actually our closest city, so we're kind of in between two bigger cities, but it's our closest city is still 30 minutes away.
Oh my.
So we it's definitely been an adjustment. Like so from being a city girl, this is definitely a different situation for us. And we literally, I mean, we don't have any, we have one gas station. I think we have a Dollar General and that's it. Like, so like if, you know, thank goodness a Dollar General, if you forget one little thing, like you need some milk last minute, great. But otherwise, I mean, it's 30 minutes for any true services.
Yeah, we're 30 minutes from any box store like a Target or a Walmart or a Sam's Club or a Costco. We're probably 15 minutes away from a Hy-Vee grocery store and an independent chain grocery store. Not chain, sorry, independent grocery store. The courthouse is in that same town. There's all the things that we really, really need are 15 minutes away.
Nice.
But my son, he likes to go out and help with the work around the farm here. And he's old enough, more than old enough, he's an adult. He's old enough to use the chainsaw and to shoot a rabbit that's eating our garden. You know, he can do those things. And he grabs the chainsaw and starts that up. And my heart just does a little tiny jump every time. Because I know that he knows what to do. But I also know that accidents happen. So the entire time that he's using the chainsaw, I'm just mildly holding my breath until it shuts off and he comes back in the house. So, there are things that are really amazing and fantastic about this lifestyle. There are things that will scare the living hell out of you about this lifestyle, too.
Absolutely.
So,
especially like, you know, with our farm animals, like, you know, a vet is 30 minutes away. And unfortunately, in our area, whether it's the, you know, New Mexico side or Colorado side, we are strapped for vets. Like all of the vet clinics are just overwhelmed. We don't have enough for the area. Getting them in, you know, even if you try to schedule an appointment, you're like weeks out, if not months out. And so a lot of times you have to do as an emergency. And so one thing, you know, and I'd say for anyone, you know, that's maybe getting into it, maybe a little scared, especially if you're going to have some of the bigger, you know, or medium sized critters like goats and stuff, is we reached out to our community, but we found some local people that are, you know, that have been doing farm thing for forever and they know what they're doing. And we actually have a local gal who is our just absolute savior. She's been a total, I mean, just help with everything. She's helped us when we've had our baby goats born. She helps with, you know, the, you know, shots that they've needed, you know, trimming their hooves and so reach out. Like, I mean, I actually love Facebook for that. We've actually made so many friends in this community and have met fellow homesteaders and truly like local, like people like a couple minutes away. And so we kind of have built up a little bit of a network. So, you know, we have people to go to, we have people to call for the stuff that we don't know how to do yet. and when we need some help. And so that's really, I think, given us a boost of confidence. Our farm gal, I call her, she's my farm gangster. She is just amazing. Nothing that scares her. She knows farms, she knows critters, and she's walked us through, you know, we had one of our births for our goats. She walked me through it and literally over the phone at 9 o'clock at night, and just having those kind of people in your life just make you more confident and really, so it's not difficult. It's not impossible. It just might be a little unknown and scary, but having that support really made a difference for us.
Yes. And I'm sure that 5 years from now, someone's going to call you and say, I've got a goat in labor and I don't know what I'm doing. And you're going to be like, I will be right there or I will talk you through it.
Right.
Pay it forward. It works every time. Okay. Well, Jennifer, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, especially since you have a jobby job and a homestead. So I'm sure that your time is not exactly unlimited. And I wish you all the luck in the world with your fall festival that you're thinking about doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.